What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey guys, and welcome to Self Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we are very excited today to be joined by our special guest we have on all the way from New York, Mr. Jim Florentine. Woo!
We don't have a soundboard yet.
Yeah.
We're sorry about that. Yeah. It's all mouth noises here. Real
it
works. Budge.
It sounds better than the goofy sounds, the real sounds. So
that's true. Yeah. You have a great voice.
Yeah.
People probably tell you that a lot.
Yeah.
He's like hired for his voice all the time. He's famous for his voice. Crank Anchors and all that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, people always say, you know, you should do kids' movies. You got great. I'm like, okay, well, get me the gig and I'll give you 50%. Right. Everybody said, how come you're not doing, you know? Yeah. You should be doing that. You should be the villain. And I'm like, okay, get me.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds
I'll give
great.
You 50%, not even 10, not even 20, 50.
Just
you negotiate the deal and I'll go do it.
Tell me where to go. I'll be there.
I got to wait for Morgan Freeman to die before I get anything.
You
gets every voiceover.
Yeah, you really do have like the narrator, that real rich quality. Your voice sounds like what I assume. I don't drink, but it's what I assume like a really nice like dark liquor tastes like. Is there where we got that?
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah,
with
a cigarette and you know.
Oh, white Morgan Freeman over here. Yeah. I love it. It's your brand.
I'm not attracted to my niece though.
Oh God, is that a real?
Is that
thing?
A Morgan Freeman thing?
Oh yeah, well his step niece or whatever. Yeah.
What?
Oh yeah.
What now? Why don't I know that?
You guys don't know that story?
No, I don't know.
Oh yeah, he was like hooking up with his like 20-year-old step niece or
something.
Oh, that
is so gross.
How do people not bring that up when you hear Morgan Freeman? Because
God damn it!
But no blood relation.
No, exactly. No, I mean
step niece.
Look at you trying to make it okay.
I mean, I love.
You mean 20? That's 2 years past 18. Delaney's just making all kinds of excuses.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't judge.
Oh Jesus. So usually we start off our episodes with a segment called Quotable, where we usually share like a favorite quote of ours or a quote of the week. Or when we have guests on, we ask if you have any quotes you hate. And you said you have a lot of quotes you hate, so I'm very excited. Yeah. So please share whatever you got.
I don't believe in inspirational quotes.
Well, you were on the right podcast, sir.
No, because everyone's posting them everywhere over social media. How come everyone's not doing better? You know what I mean? Like, everybody should be walking around doing amazing. Nobody should have any shit going on in their life, because that's all you do is see them. And I'm like, no one's reading them. Because people are madder than ever. Or, so it's really not working.
What if they are doing better? And without the quotes, it would be even worse.
Ooh. That's true.
No, because before social media, that shit was out there, but people weren't doing better either. So they're still not. Now they're posting them. Everybody should be doing a lot better. Because every third thing on Instagram is it's whether it's a piece of it's food or an inspirational quote.
Sure. Yeah. Do you think like the worse people are doing, the more inspirational quotes they post?
A lot of them. I know these people. They got problems. They're not listening to this. You know, no regrets. Everybody has regrets. Stop with that. You know.
Oh man, you're really.
I got
killing.
No regrets. Oh really? You don't? Okay, no regrets whatsoever. Let's go through your life. Let me go talk to your therapist, and we'll see if you have regrets. You do have regrets.
Oh my god, you're really killing our Instagram account that we've.
Oh, it's all quotes.
It's very basic, bitch.
Just very.
And then another one, live, laugh, love. That one drives me nuts.
Oh yeah,
that's lazy. We all hate that.
Yeah, I think everybody hates that
one's hanging in every house. Every house that's hanging in, there's tension in that house. There's tension. You walk in there and there's just complete tension. I'm like, wait a minute. Does anyone read that sign on the kitchen wall? Because there's no live, laugh, loving in this house.
Right. That's so funny and so true.
It is true.
But that's just the one you get when you're decorating. You know, when you move to a place, you go to Bed Bath & Beyond or wherever you're going. We got to hang this in the kitchen, you know, all this stuff. So it's most of it's just nonsense. If you have an inspirational quote, just say it to yourself when you wake up in the morning. Whatever
an
it is.
Affirmation.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah. And then just go by that the rest of the day.
Sure.
That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah. So is there anything that you do tell yourself to, like, make you feel better?
No.
Boost you up?
No. I'm just whatever. I just wake up. Oh, my God. It's another day. You know, it's really not gonna, you know, it's not gonna make a difference.
Okay. You've never heard like a speech or seen a quote where you were like, oh, that is
some from a movie.
Yeah, good football movie that really gets you going.
Good football movie?
You know, no.
You didn't feel anything during, like, Remember the Titans?
No, and the Rudy, no.
Miracle?
You know, the guy, okay, I know the movie. He gets in at the end and he makes a tackle. I just saved 2 hours. Yeah, he was small. He couldn't make the team. You know, it's like, I see it coming from a mile away. I don't want to know the ending.
What about music lyrics? Because you're a big music guy.
Sometimes, you know, some good music lyrics.
No Ozzy lyrics
stuff.
That really,
no,
like,
the Ozzy lyrics are, you know.
Get you in the gut, nothing?
No, but there are some songs that get you through some shit.
All right.
You know?
I think that counts.
That does count.
I guess so, yeah, because it's definitely, there are some stuff.
Any song in particular or lyric?
A lot of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Okay.
She got me through a lot.
Hootie, yeah.
No.
No judgment.
I was like, hey, no, sounds great. Yeah.
Whatever floats
your boat. A lot of 98 degrees. That's awesome. Huh. Well, you're definitely like probably the first type like this on our podcast is like, fuck all of it.
Yeah.
Don't believe in any of it. But actually, you do have some things that you've read that you like that are books, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a book called The Four Agreements. That's really good.
Okay, cool.
That, you know, I didn't get into it till late, like all that. You know, I didn't go to therapy till for a long time. I always thought if I went to therapy, I was going to lose my anger and then I can't write jokes.
Yeah.
Because that's where all my comedy comes from.
Interesting.
Anger and rage. So I feel like, oh, if I settle all my problems, then I'm not going to be funny anymore. I'm going to be just happy-go-lucky and I'm not going to be able to pick apart anything.
Right. And then I can't make money and I'm just like the happiest homeless person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd rather. I'm like, it's my career. I don't care about being happy.
Right.
I just want to, you know.
Just want to be the funny bone.
Yeah, I got to write jokes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I remember my friend was like, no, you're not going to lose your anger if you go there. You're just going to know how to, you know, separate it and whatever. So I went for like a month. I'm like, no, this is bullshit. And I left. And,
really?
You know, my friend's like, you got to go back. Come on, man. Just go. And I went and it just totally changed my life. It definitely put me in a way better place where you could channel your anger. He's like, you're not going to lose your anger. You could still be angry. You're just going to find out why, where it's coming from and all that other stuff. So
isn't that weird how that helps so much, just knowing the source of your anger? Like, it's still just as intense, it's right there, but there is some relief in just going, oh, I can trace that back to my dad, you know?
Right.
Like, that's so weirdly relieving.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
What was the turning point that made you go, oh, I actually like therapy?
You know, because I knew I was like my late 30s at the time, and I just realized I got to get my shit together. Because if you don't get your shit together by you know, your late 30s, early 40s, you're going to be fucked.
That's it. Yeah.
You got to do it at some point. Yeah. You usually don't do it in your 20s, your 30s. You're busy with your career. You're like, whatever. You know, you just got a million things going on. Plus, you don't have any insurance.
Yeah.
So you can't pay $200-$300 for a 45-minute session, whatever it's going to be. You just don't have the money.
Right.
But then I just realized that I got to start, you know, just figuring this stuff out. And just, you know, most of it was childhood issues, coming from a family of seven kids. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, probably just not getting enough attention. But I don't, like, you know, I got one kid and I can barely give him enough attention. So I really, when you have kids, you really you can't blame it on your parents when there's seven of them.
Oh, my
God. So I think that's where a lot of it stemmed from, you know, and just, you know, acting out.
Yeah.
But once I got that straightened out, it was definitely a lot more peaceful in my life and stuff too.
Were there any big breakthroughs in therapy that were like, oh shit, like the big aha moments, as Oprah says?
Well, you know, just a lot from like my dad, you know, because I always thought I had to, you know, impress him. He was really smart. I was more like, you know, he was an accountant and, you know, went to college for, you know, it was just book smart. And I was more street smart, just a wise ass. Like my, you know, I wanted to be an actor or a comedian or in a band or whatever like that, and I always thought that he'd look down on that.
Yeah.
You know, because he was always a suit and tie guy, and I was like, I don't want to do that shit. I don't want to be in an office.
Yeah.
You know, so I always felt like he, you know, but when I started doing comedy, he supported, he goes, hey, if that's what you want to do, you know, then I support you. Go do it, you know, and he said, move back home. You don't have to pay any bills. Get your career on track.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Wow.
You know, but for a long time, I felt like I had to press him, and I felt like, you know, a loser that I wasn't doing what he wanted to do. But I went to college for like a semester. I go, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be an accountant. I'm not a numbers guy. Right. You know, I felt like he was disappointed. He's like, all right, fine, you know, do what you got to do, you know, so. Yeah. But once I worked out, I was fine. But then, you know, like you read a book like The Four Agreements, you know, especially in show business, you know, there's like these four. It's like, don't take anything personally. And that's one. That's one of, like, the agreements in the book.
So what are the what are the four agreements?
The four agreements, like, be true to your word. Basically, what you say is what you mean. You know, mean what you say.
Yeah.
You know, the gossip, all that other stuff, just leave that out. It's not, it's you know, it's not good to do it, even though everybody does it. But basically, you know, whatever you say you mean, just really mean it. Don't just bullshit people.
Right.
And then don't take anything personally is a big thing because, you know, with the criticism you get, especially in this business, you can easily take it personally, whether it's a comment card after a comedy show or you're reading something online.
Yeah.
And this person doesn't know you. It's just not their sense of humor if they didn't like your stuff or whatever it was.
Right.
You know, so you can't really tell. You're not going to win the whole audience over.
Right.
Of course, you know, we look at that one person that's not laughing. If the rest of the room is, you're like, why is that person not laughing?
Yes.
But you can't. That's just not their sense of humor. And you have to get to that point where you're just not going to please everybody. If you do, you're not going to be a good comic.
Right.
Because you're going to charge compromise and try to win everybody over. And you're just going to be like middle of the road,
no
vanilla,
identity,
no identity at all.
Right. Yeah.
So you just but it's tough in the beginning, especially when you're building your career and you can't, you know, no one's calling you back or your agents or you're not getting the Montreal Comedy Fest or whatever. You're like, oh, man, they must think I suck and stuff like that. It's like, no, you just weren't right for that.
Yeah.
I remember this girl. We were all coming up and Sue Costello, the I don't know if you know, female comic out of New York. So we're all together. We're all working together. And then she gets like a sitcom for Fox. They want, you know, and all the male comics, we were all friends. We'd all go have drinks afterwards. We all hung out. They got all jealous and were freaking out that she got it. I'm like, why? I go, she wasn't our competition. They were looking for a white female from Boston for the specific sitcom. So it wasn't me against Sue, you know, and she beat me out. I go and be happy for her. And I just saw all that jealousy and stuff. Like, I never want to be like that. I'm like, I'm not going to worry about what anybody else has. You know, I'm just going to do my own thing.
Right.
Because the comics that worry about that shit, they just never get anywhere.
No.
You know, why is this person doing better? I'm doing comedy 2 years, and they're only doing it a year, and they're already emceeing. I go, well, that person worked harder. That's what it was. Maybe just not that funny, you know what I mean? You go to the bar afterwards and just drink beer and get high and play video games till 6 in the morning.
How and you've been able to hold on to that your whole career?
Yeah, pretty much. I just used it for motivation.
Wow.
You know, instead of just getting jealous. Like when I first started in New York City, going to clubs, there was a lot of guys in there. Me and Jim Norton.
Yeah.
We'd go in New York all the time. We're from Jersey, and they had no respect for us. Like, oh, these guys are from Jersey. They're like white trash, dirtbags, you know. So all these guys in New York were all these, like, you know.
Right.
You know, just talked about their how much they hated their parents on stage. And did, like, monologue jokes. That's what they did. They were, like, Letterman. And me and Jim would just talk about our lives and just, you know, dirtbags. So we'd watch these guys, and I wouldn't get jealous that they were getting TV shows and stuff. I'm like, all right, if this guy's getting TV shows, I know I can. Yeah. I wasn't getting mad. I go, if that's what the competition is.
Oh, that's a cool way to look at it.
Yeah, because
great way of looking.
When I saw like Louis C.K., Ray Romano, and Dave could tell were the biggest guys in the city. When I cracked, I go, I'm not even close to them, so I'm not going after what they got. But these other lower level guys that are getting all these shows, I know I can get them too. Mm. But I didn't get mad. I'm like, if this guy got a show, I'm like, fuck that guy. I should be getting that. I'm like, okay, I'm easily I can get it.
Right. So it kind of inspired you, like,
right. But I didn't go, I'm funnier than Dave Attell because I had one good set. Right, I knew that wasn't the case.
Wow. Interesting. So a lot of like self-awareness, but yeah, also just motivation.
Yeah, just motivation, but I didn't have, yeah, I just wasn't going to go bitch and, you know, I can't believe this person didn't get this and all that. So I've always modeled my career after that. I just know, I don't give a shit what anybody else is doing. Yeah. I got to worry about
that's
myself.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like especially in the age of social media where you can constantly, every minute, be reminded of what everybody else is doing. Everybody's quantified now by number of followers, downloads, whatever. It's like you can compare yourself to somebody else mathematically and be like, they have this many more followers or whatever. That's amazing that you can still stay so like removed from that.
All right, if someone has 1 million followers and you put a new special out, are you gonna a million people? All those people are gonna watch it? No. How many are gonna watch it? 1 million?
Yeah.
50,000. So the other people aren't really even your fans. Why wouldn't they support you?
Yeah.
All the bands always bitch about that too. This one guy puts an album out. He goes, I got 1 million people on Facebook that follow me that say my fans, and I sold 6,000 records the week it came out. He goes, why are you guys buying my record for $10?
Yeah.
You know, so that's all bullshit, all that stuff. I mean, you got to build a following and get, you know, post your stuff and, you know, make sure people know where you are. But, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how many followers I have. I don't even look. I don't know how many followers I have on Instagram. God. I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter.
I think you're accidentally coining your own inspirational quotes. Yeah, you talk like, I don't give a shit what anybody else is doing. Put it on a wall somewhere, no, bitches.
Because I got to do my own thing. I got to go. Yeah. I just did 3 shows on a Saturday night in Tampa. I got to deal with those animals. You know, in Florida,
like so
and drunk to do an hour, three different sets a night. So I'm like, what do I care if somebody else is, you know, doing on Instagram and they got more followers? I got to focus on this.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing way to live. And I think it's, so you said, stay true to your word. What was the second one?
Don't take anything personally.
Don't take anything personally.
Don't make assumptions.
Don't make assumptions. That's one. Whether that can work in a million different things. So just imagine your boyfriend, you don't hear from him, you know, for 4 hours. You're thinking the worst.
Right.
What is he doing? Oh, my God. Is that girl at the coffee shop? Is he hooking up with her?
So funny.
Whatever like that.
My ex cheated on me with the girl at the coffee shop. Really? So that's really funny.
within a 4-hour period?
No, it's probably like took about 2 minutes knowing him. But
it was on the coffee shop?
Would he disappear on you for hours?
Well, it was just like, he would like go out with friends. And then it would be like, oh, you were supposed to be home 2 hours ago kind of thing. But like we were so young. It was like the young teenage boyfriend situation. But it's funny.
It was the coffee shop.
Somebody who worked at Coffee Bean.
All right, I was talking about Starbucks. I wasn't talking about Coffee Bean.
Perfect. That's good. I can understand that.
We can separate things. Yeah.
That's right. But so the assumptions is, okay, so you think they're doing something bad, even though they are.
Shit.
And then you realize, like, maybe, I don't know, they dropped their phone in the toilet and he had to go to the Apple store and they have to get a new one. And you think that the worst, and the whole time for those next 4 hours, maybe you're on an audition and you got to focus and you're thinking he's doing something. And meanwhile, he dropped his phone in the toilet. Oh, my God, that's why he didn't get back to me. I was just worried, you know.
Right.
All of that shit. You're just making assumptions.
Right. Yeah.
Whether your agent or your manager doesn't call you back or you did an audition, you don't hear, and you're like, oh, they hated me. That's it. I'm the worst. They sucked. I should have got. And then 4 days later, they call you back because they weren't sure.
Right.
And you did get it, but for the 3 days, you're killing yourself over it.
Yeah.
You know. Cool. So I just never. You know, it's tough to do, but I just never make assumptions on stuff. I'm like, you know, everything's most of the time, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah,
that's true.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
So
there's a couple
spiral.
Times there's going to be some shit that goes down, but most of the time it's going to be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, with the assumptions.
Right.
You are like your own like Jersey Buddha. You came in here.
I'm the white trash Buddha.
Yeah, and I was like, man, he seems so like anti self help, and like you have your own book basically. Like everything you're saying is just like. This is how you do it. And I'm happy.
I love it.
Fuck.
What's the fourth one? Did we cover
that? Oh, always do your best.
Well, that's one. Look, just try. Did you do your best? Maybe you didn't have a great audition or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever you do. Like, I did my best. That's all I could do. So you don't beat yourself up over it.
I love that. Yeah.
You know?
It says on
and
here.
And sometimes when you don't do your best as a comic, you know, you just feel like, man, you know, I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
I was just in a weird mood and I definitely didn't connect with the crowd. Like, okay, well, make sure you do your best next time.
Oh, yeah. Like it says, your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to when you are sick, which I think is like a good thing to remember too.
I love that.
Because we get sick a lot with all of our travel. Yeah. And I think we can beat ourselves up sometimes, like when we're sick, thinking, oh, well, I should be doing all these things I would usually do if I was healthy. But at times you need to just fucking chill and take
just
a
nap. Chill. They always say like the best day. Like, your body really needs one day to just do nothing.
Yeah.
Just lay around, watch TV, whatever. You know, just do nothing for one day to just reset, recharge for the rest of the week. Like, don't feel bad. I was always like that, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I'm wasting my time. Like, I never watch any TV shows. I'm just starting to watch. I just watched Sopranos, and I never watched
it when
I was on.
I'm starting to watch that. I'm going to start that.
Yeah. The Wire. I never watched The Wire.
And you know what? Yeah.
I never watched any of it because I was always so busy. I'm just like, I got no time for this. And then I just said, what am I doing? I go, I'm just going to start watching. You know, once a week, I'm just going to just do nothing all day.
Yeah. Oh,
and I feel way better the next day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, whatever day it is. But you always feel guilty as a comic. I got to be doing something. Everyone's going to get ahead of me. It's like, who cares?
Yes.
If you're gone a month from the scene, wherever, and you come back.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody even knew you were gone.
We talked about that so many times. We're like, we could be gone for a year and we would come back and people would still be like, you're everywhere.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked before, too, about how I think it's easy to look at somebody like Kevin Hart, who seemingly does not even take like 15 minutes off. And it's like, yeah, he does have an incredible amount of success. But I always have to wonder, like, how happy does he feel on just like a personal level and like a mental health level? Because to me, that just seems insane. Like, I would need so much more downtime than he has. But
he might have that comedian's mentality. Like, look, I don't know when this is going to end. So I'm going to do everything and do everything while I can while I'm hot.
Right. Yeah.
We all think that. You know, totally. You get things like, oh, man, I don't know how long this is last. So I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep working because, you know, in 2 years, something could come out and all of a sudden I'm out of the business.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, or just people don't care about me anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, who knows? That might be his mindset, too.
That's really interesting.
You never know.
A fear-based motivation.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then what was the other book that you said that you read?
There was a book,
The Power of Now.
Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now.
I read that when I was like in high school or just starting college. I thought it was good. I don't remember much from when I read it, but I thought I enjoyed reading it. That's all I remember.
Yeah, that's more, it's more about just like, you know, living in the moment.
Yeah.
You can't worry about the past. The past is done, whatever happened. And don't even worry about the future. Just live in that moment right now.
Yeah.
You know, you can use the past as a reference and that's it.
Mm.
Don't dwell on it, whether it was good or bad. You can't, that person that just lives in the past because they did something good 10 years ago or 15 years ago and that's all they talk. Yeah. Or something bad that happened.
Right.
It's like, okay, when are you going to move on from that? You're in the present right now. You're messing up the present because you just, you know. So he says, use it as a reference. That's it. Oh, yeah, I remember. But just move on from that. And don't even worry about the future. What are you going to do?
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. I think I remember something from that book that stuck with me. I'm pretty sure it's in this one. Where it's like, basically, go outside and pretend that none of the things that you see have names. And that will get you so present. Because it's like, yeah, you see that and you think, oh, that's a tree. But just take the word tree out of it and look at this thing like you've never really seen it before.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that was in that book. I'm like, that is powerful.
That's really
cool. We give names to everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a freaking thing that's grown out of the ground and it's got root. Like, what the fuck is this? Where's this coming from? You know?
Sounds like a weird drug trip.
Yeah, seriously. It's
like renaming nature. Like,
childlike almost, where you're experiencing things for the first time.
Yeah, and just be quiet, like be at peace.
Right.
You know, you don't need distractions, TVs, phones, all the shit going on all the time. Just, you know, have some quiet time to yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? Before we get into like the shaman stuff, because I think we're all really, really excited.
I'm so interested.
I'm curious to know as a father. So how old is your son?
He'll be 8 this week.
Okay. He's hilarious, by the way. He's like a starting stand-up comedian. He gets on stage and kills.
Really? What?
It's crazy.
Oh,
he'll have to show you some videos afterward. It's amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Are any of the things that you've learned from these self-help books, all that stuff, has that applied to your parenting at all? Is there anything that you feel is like really important to teach your kid?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This young age?
I don't know if I'm the self-help, but just basically, you know, just making sure that he, you know, my main thing with him is don't be a dick. Because if you're going to be a dick, you're not going to have friends. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, once in a while, he'll try to be a dick to me. And I go, you're being a dick right now. You realize that. I go, if you're going to be a dick, you're not going to have any friends. Everyone's going to hate you. I go, and you're not going to have girlfriends. You're going to be that guy. You might get girlfriends for a little bit. The girls that, like, a guy that's a rebel. But yeah, then all of a sudden, you're not going to have those girls. So I go, just don't be a dick to people. It's really simple, but it's true, because whenever he goes, like, he'll be like, what, are you stupid? You didn't know that the wrestling was on at 9 o'clock? I go, what? So you call me stupid? I go, you're being a dick right now. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I don't follow wrestling as much as you. That's on your mind 24 hours a day. I got other shit going on. I got to make you lunch, yeah. Motherfucker.
I love that. One day that's going to be posted on his wall. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Just don't be a dick.
Up to.
Yeah.
That's great. So he wants to be like you when he grows up.
Yeah, he
wants
to be a stand-up. Well, stand-up or a musician. He's been taking music lessons. He goes on stage with my nephew and sings.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah, let the bodies hit the floor. You saw it, right? Yeah. I'll show it to you guys.
You're taking
later.
A lot of video of him for his Justin Bieber origin story documentary?
Oh, yeah. I got video of him on stage telling jokes, killing in front of 400 people.
Oh, my God.
Sold out, and he tries new material too.
Is it open with
I go, look, these are the four jokes you should do. I go, it's a sold out crowd. You probably don't want to do any new stuff. He's like, okay. And I go, yeah, just do these four in this order. That'll be good. And then he's up there and he starts riffing right off the bat a new joke. That's something that just happened that day. And I'm like, man, you got some. I go, you weren't nervous? He goes, no. I figured it was probably going to be funny. And he did get a laugh on it. I'm like, man, this guy's going. Because when he was doing it, I'm like, oh, shit, where's this going? This is going to be weird. It might affect him that he didn't get a big laugh. But no, it did.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So do you take him on the road with you to open for you sometimes?
If it's a local gig, like
that's
I'll do.
That's so cool.
You know, yeah. he'll do like the early show.
Oh, my gosh. That's
I love it.
Freaking
I love
awesome.
That
yeah.
So much.
That is really cool.
And his stuff isn't like kid stuff. He's pretty edgy. I mean,
it's, yeah. He's edgy as fuck. And it's hilarious.
Well, the one joke he had goes, so my dad hasn't had a girlfriend in like 3 years. And I'm standing on stage, so the crowd's already laughing. He's like, I keep telling him, Dad, get a girlfriend. And my dad's like, yeah, eventually I will. He goes, I think my dad's gay. That's right.
You just picture like a 7-year-old saying that.
I can't picture a 7-year-old doing stand-up. I want to see a video so bad.
Oh my gosh. Is that on YouTube or just on your phone?
Just on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to expose him that because you never know.
That's
another thing with him. You know, it's like I don't want to put there's some stuff of him singing on stage. And if I put it out there on YouTube in a couple of years, he's in fourth, fifth grade or whatever, and kids start making fun of him and looking at the video. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't want him to deal with that shit yet.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
And then he has to go on Ellen and then. It's a whole thing to be talented.
Because he's really sensitive, so I know he's not going to be able to take criticism. So I'm like, I'm not going to put him out there like that.
Absolutely.
I'll put him on stage, whatever, and people go, oh, it was funny or whatever. But it's not, you know.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. The internet is a disaster for non-sensitive people.
Absolutely.
Does that bother you? Okay, so here's a big question. So you're like, I don't compare myself to other people. Does like the internet shit bother you if you get trolled, if you get like mean YouTube comments, anything like that? Does that ever get to you?
I've never looked at one of my YouTube comments.
Never?
Nope.
Wow.
Not even one time
where
you were like,
time.
Never doing this again?
Never one time.
Wow.
I've never been on Reddit. I never look at Reddit.
Yeah, don't do that.
Wow.
My buddy was telling me, he's like, oh man, they wrote some shit about you because you were on Opie and Jim.
Yeah.
Or Opie. I'm like, I don't care. He's like, yeah, you should check it out. I go, well, for what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't look, you know, once in a while I'll look at Twitter mentions because sometimes I'll, you know, respond back to somebody, you know, like something silly or whatever. But other than that, I just don't even look.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just put it out, whatever it is, and that's it.
Yeah.
Even like Facebook, if I post something, I'm like, whatever, I don't even look.
You're seriously becoming like the most inspirational guest. I just want to be that so badly. God damn it.
So simple, but can be so hard to follow sometimes.
No, it is. Like you know, I'm sure it's tempting. Urge. You know, but like, what am I going to do? So if I think a joke is funny, I'm going to put it on Twitter, and then people are like, oh, that sucked, dude. That, what a hack. Like then I'm like, oh man, you know, I thought that was funny. I'm like, I'm not even dealing with that. I'll do it on stage. I'll know if it's a real response. because most of those people aren't coming to a comedy club.
Right.
Like I was on this TV show where it was all like a heavy metal show, so they're not really comedy fans. Mm-hmm. So if I'm cracking jokes and they're not probably not going to get it. They're not comedy fans. So I'm like, why? I'm not playing to them.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if they come to the show, I'll do it there. So I don't even deal with that nonsense.
No, I love it. I love that.
I never try jokes out on Twitter or any of that stuff. I'm like, I'll save it for the stage because I'm like, you know, then no one gets it. Everybody's so sensitive about it. People losing their gigs and shit like that. So I'm like, just do it in the club.
Yeah.
You get a lot more leeway in a club.
Keep it into clubs.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And then really not that sensitive. I don't know. I'm not sensitive. I'm not seeing it that much where people are really getting more, you know, offended and walking out. I always ask the club owners now, or wherever club, I go, you getting more of it? You're like, no. People do research. They know who you are. They know the comics that are coming.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a clip online.
Yeah.
Every act's got a clip. So they just look at that, and then they know what they're coming in for, which is actually good for us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sometimes those, like, Saturday early shows where it's just, like, generic, you know, walking in and being like, oh, so let's do something on a Saturday night. Sometimes those are the crowds where you're like, oh, these are not my people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but sometimes those crowds are good because they don't know you. So if your material works with them, that's
right,
good.
Right.
Yeah. You know, sometimes pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Sometimes that's good.
Yeah.
So you can win them over.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about a shaman because we're super interested in that. So when was this? What was this?
Yeah. When? Where? How long?
After therapy, everything was going good. I was dating this girl, and unfortunately, she committed suicide.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was an ex-girlfriend. We were together for 6 years. So, you know, I was going to therapy, and right after that, I was going to support group meetings and all that stuff, and it just wasn't, you know, look, it was heavy shit. And I had a friend of mine, she had this shaman. She's like, you got to go see this guy. He's amazing. He'll help you. She was going to him for years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to a shaman. Like, I'm telling, he was in California. I was in Jersey at the time.
Yeah. And this is, how long ago was this?
This is 2007.
Okay. Mm. So like 10-ish.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a couple months afterwards. And she's like, just go. So I made an appointment. I flew out here.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and she's like, look, he gives you a massage and he basically just talks to you and help you through a lot of shit. So he didn't know anything about it. I just said, look, I had a problem. He goes, all right, come out when I make the appointment. And basically he just sits me down. He's just going through your life. He goes, all right, first of all, he's working, you know, massaging you really hard and getting all the kinks out and just getting shit. He's like, man, you're really tense and, you know, just going through your whole life and stuff like that. And he's just like, he goes, look, I told him what happened with my ex. He's like, look, he goes, this is the bottom line. And he goes, you were chapter three in her life. Chapter one was the root of the problem. Because I was blaming myself.
Oh, wow.
You're the last person. He goes, chapter one was the root of the problem. You weren't there for chapter one.
Wow.
You came along at chapter three. So this has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Wow.
You know, so that one really hit home. And then he's like, look, you're not God. You can't save people. You know, you can only do your best. You know, who do you think? You really think you have that power?
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, look, she was going to do this anyway, whether she met you or not. That's just was her path in life.
Yeah.
He's like, so you gave her the best 6 years of life. And it was really weird because that's what she wrote in the note that she left me with the shaman guy.
Who
wrote pretty much the exact words that she wrote in a note that he spewed out without him even. I didn't tell him that. Yeah, she wrote this. Nothing.
Wow.
And I'm like, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
This is weird, man.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't like my friend told him, okay, this is what she wrote.
Right.
Like, so it wasn't set up. Yeah. It wasn't any of this stuff. But he's just basically, I'm like, that's exactly what she said, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you gave me the 6 best years of my life, you know, whatever.
Just, and you still felt like guilt about it.
Oh, yeah, because you feel guilty. You feel like you could, you know, it was your fault. You know, and I could have, why wasn't I home that night, whatever it is.
And then you
feel angry, you're mad, why'd you do this?
Right.
Now I got to deal with this shit, you know, you're gone, and I, you know.
Right. It's really traumatic.
Yo, and then with her family and friends blaming you, that's all, that usually happens too. So that was a rough one. You know, you're close to them, and then all of a sudden they turn on you thinking it's your fault. I'm like, this has nothing to do with me.
Oh, my God.
But you don't know that at the time. But when I went to this guy, he goes, look, you were chapter three. Chapter one was the root of problem. That line right there totally just got me to a better place. I'm like, well, fuck them, that family. I don't give a shit. This isn't my problem, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so really, you know, that guy really helped me a lot. And I would go to him like every few months.
Wow. Yeah.
And stuff, and just, you know, work through some stuff and all that. But he really set me on a path, because I didn't do comedy for the first 3 months after it happened. I was like, I can't go back up on stage. Yeah. I go, everyone's going to, I was, you know, I had post-traumatic stress disorder and all the shit. So it was rough.
God.
Wow.
You know, so, but when I went to him, like, the therapy was working, but he's basically like, I always say, like, if you go to him, he's like 1,000 hours of therapy in like a 2-hour session.
Wow.
You're not completely cured when you walk out of there, but he gets you way further than the therapy. It's a slow process of working through your shit. He gets right to the point and just, you know, send you home. He was the one who told me about the four agreements. And and I go, yeah, I kind of read it. He goes, go back and read it. Because it's a really simple book, too. It's a little book you can carry around. He goes, you know, go back and read that. Do all this other stuff and just work on yourself. And, you know. Wow. He really got to a great point. I sent a bunch of people to him, and everyone's like, oh, my God, that guy was amazing.
I know. I'm like, curious. Like, I want to get his info.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah, he's still around. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And you're in L.A.?
He's probably he travels all over. But, yeah, he's probably around in L.A., yeah.
How long are the sessions?
Like 2 hours.
Okay.
That's good. And he's massaging you the whole time?
Like, massaging, just talking about your life. What'd you do when you grew up? You got this. How's your what's your relationship with your mom, your dad? You know, goes through everything. Okay, well, just the problem is, you know, you did this, and then it'll tell you to eat healthy, do whatever. You know, like, I was super dehydrated. I was drinking all those energy drinks. He goes, don't drink that shit anymore. Don't drink any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Drink water. I haven't had one since. You know, he's like, that's it's messing up your body. He knows the inside, you know, just feels around and knows, you know, what to do. And just put you on a good plan. Books, food, all of that stuff, you know, and just the mind, you know, works on you.
Man, that sounds
like a card.
We are going ASAP.
I did a whole one man show about this. It was called I'm Your Savior, because my whole thing was I always found troubled women. I always wanted to save them. I got it from my mom, because my mom was always, like, you know, strict Catholic. We had 7 kids, but she would take people in, like, basically off the street and just take care of them.
Yeah.
All our old grandparents, you know, they'd move in when they were sick. My mom would always take care of them and stuff. So, like, I was always attracted to that.
Yeah.
You know, just taking care. So I was, you know, a project, a fixer.
Yeah.
How interesting.
You know, which I feel like is the reverse. I feel like women are usually so, like, much more the fixers.
Yeah. And then I would, like, and then, you know, my therapist was like, you know, this isn't your problem. You know, go find someone that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, or when they're fixed. But don't, you know, it's not your thing to fix them.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. It's interesting how we repeat our parents' patterns often.
No, I know, because I did. That's what my mom was. She'd always take care of people, you know, and stuff. So I always just did.
Wow.
And I always didn't get in a normal relationship. Like, this person got a problem. I'll take them in.
Right. And did you know that you were doing that? Or was that kind of?
No, I didn't know it. But then my relationship were all shit. I'm like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
I'm just picking the wrong. You know, any girl that was normal to me, I was like, that's boring.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, to me, that was boring.
No drug problems?
I know. A girl that works in a bank?
Financially stable?
Yeah. Girl doesn't want to go to a strip club? I'm like, no fun.
You have a savings account?
I know.
Yeah. I have a question about PTSD, because I know we've talked about doing an episode on just that alone. Do you still suffer from PTSD? Did you go to treatment for that? How did that all
work? I think it just goes, it just dissipates in time.
Okay.
You know, just working on yourself. I definitely had it for a while. Yeah.
Connected to that one specific event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah.
And did you know that you had it, or was it something?
No, I think I realized after a few months I did. Yeah, and I just like, all right, I just got to deal with this. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I didn't sleep for, like, you know, more than 3 hours for like 3-4 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was rough, because, you know, you just, it was, yeah, it was. But then it was funny, because I tell a story. So it was a one-man show. I released it. It was called I'm Your Savior.
Okay.
So anyway, but
can
I
you find?
Yeah, it's up on iTunes. It's a comedy special.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did it in New York at a little. Actually, I did it on a Comedy Central stage out here.
Oh, cool.
That's where I recorded it. But I was doing around New York and all that stuff. But I tell the story. So cut to like 4 years later, right? So after my ex passed away, And my buddy, calls me up. He goes, hey, you want to go see Kid Rock is playing at this place in Jersey, right? And he goes, I got free tickets. There's a bunch of girls going. We're going to tailgate. You want to come? And I go, I don't know. And he's like, why? I go, I don't know. Me and my ex-girlfriend, the one that passed away, I go, that was like, we'd always go see him every year. She liked him. So that was like our thing to do. I go, I feel weird going without. This is even 4 years later.
Yeah. Wow,
he's like,
yeah.
What are you, a pussy? Come on.
Yeah.
He goes, I go, let me, I'll tell you tomorrow. I don't know. Let me see. Yeah. And that, it's weird because that night, I don't know if it was in my subconscious, but I had a dream that my ex came to me, which she never did before, and said, go to that concert. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you'll thank me later. Whoa. I went there the next day, and then I met my wife at the time there.
I just got chills.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, because one of those girls that he said we're going to hang with, I started talking with or whatever, and I went and married her and had a kid with her.
My God.
Yeah.
That is intense.
That's because
so awesome.
We go to Kid Rock, and there was Kid Rock and Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's where I met. Yeah, and that's where I met her. Then the next day I went and.
Jesus.
Holy shit. Did you, pretty much know right away?
No.
No?
No. When I knocked her up, I was like, oh, fuck.
That was the most naive question I could have asked. Did you just know?
We
knocked her up, and that was just the most.
I don't know. All of a sudden, it was weird. The pill didn't work. Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
She was consistently taking the pill and it didn't work?
No, a new pill on the market, it didn't work. I don't know.
Has that
happened? I've been asking a lot of women. They all say no.
That's awesome.
It's weird. It's funny because I made a joke about it because I go, maybe, she did send me. And then I got my kid, and that's how my special ended.
Okay.
Right? My one-man show. Now we have this kid, and my son was like 3 at the time, and I got my wife, and I got my son, and, she sent me there. So it was a nice fairy tale ending.
Wow.
But then, 2 years later, the whole thing blows up. And we're divorced, and it was a big thing. It was on TMZ. It was in newspapers, all shit, So it was a whole nightmare I had to go through. But then I'm thinking, I wonder if she sent me there, my ex sent me there, because she was like, okay, I'm going to get back at you. Because I slept with one of her friends 4 months after she passed away, a good friend. And I'm like, I wonder if she's getting back at me. She was watching, the whole thing.
Oh, she's watching.
Oh, really? You're going to fuck one of my friends? Okay, fine. Go meet this train wreck. Watch what's going to happen to you.
Oh my God.
In the beginning, I thought it was just a great story, but then after everything went down, I go, well, maybe it's because I fucked a friend.
Oh my God.
We're both lonely. We're drunk. What are you going to do?
I can't imagine.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Your life, Jim. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Jesus.
So are you single now? Are you dating? Are you out there in the dating world?
No, I'm single.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all right. I mean, I don't date that much.
Yeah.
Take care of my boy and work. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're doing a better job of being attracted to people that don't need a lot of fixing, or do you still...
I see red flags right away.
Okay,
I never did.
Yeah.
My ex was married twice before. I mean, I didn't see those red flags.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. She was 28. Is that weird?
Twice at 28?
Yeah, two marriages at 28.
Wow.
Three at 30. Is that weird?
I'm saying that's a little weird.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
Two divorces by 28.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Something's going. Yeah. Why do you keep getting married? That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Case by case, but yeah.
Yeah.
You've been married twice under 28. We're sorry.
I know.
I know. You're always careful. You're like, I don't want to offend it.
Situations, but yeah. I don't think I personally know anybody who's been divorced twice by my age,
Yeah, I don't either.
I know one guy, but his circumstances were, I'm like, oh, that's not on him, really.
Right.
He was, again, attracted to kind of the wrong people and then kind of got fucked over.
Wouldn't that be a red flag if you were with that person? Like, am I fucked up?
Right, no.
Am I broken?
He's learned, same like what Jim's saying, that he's learned now to not be attracted to fixer-uppers, which I think is hard as a comedian. I feel like a lot of comedians are attracted to fixer-uppers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely are. I don't know. So now I just see red flags right away, and I see just one, and I'm out. I'm not totally impatient about it. I just see one. I'm like, I don't forgive you. I'm done. It wasn't just a bad night, our second date, that you started screaming because you were drunk. No, you shouldn't be showing your card that early.
You know what I mean?
That's later down the road. And you're showing it that early before I go, all right, it was just a bad night. She doesn't like tequila. It makes her crazy. No. There's more there.
I like that. It's like people show you who they are and you listen. That's like, you have to do that.
And if you're going to be crazy, give me a few months of bliss.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah, I know.
At least trick me for a while.
Just for a while.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my ex told me, she goes, I love baseball. That's my favorite. Because she's like, I remember our second date. We go back to my house. She's like, what do you want to do? I go, I don't know. And she's like, what would you do on a Sunday night? I go, I don't know. I'd probably just watch the baseball game on ESPN and drink a couple beers. She goes, that's exactly what I would do. I would love baseball. And she just started reeling off, like, because she hears her dad talking about the Phillies, the team that he liked. And she's like, yeah, this guy, Ryan Howard, he strikes out. I'm like, oh, wow, this could be the coolest girl ever.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my God. And, you know, meanwhile, I had the baseball package where they show all the games. We were together for 6 years. She watched one game. So, I don't know. I don't think she liked it, but I fell for it.
That's a move, that's for sure. Oh, just like, oh, man. I love all the things you love. Well, then you're in.
Look, you always got to look at this, the rule of thumb. If you think this person you meet is the coolest person ever and the greatest person, like, how could they still be single? Mm-hmm. How are they not snapped up? There's a reason. There's a reason they're not snapped. The good ones are taken. The good ones are taken. They're living in the suburbs. They're married. They're happy. They got the white picket fence. They're just good people.
But maybe we're in our 20s, so I feel like that's less applicable to us.
Unless it's a love household. But also maybe the reason for you that they're single might be somebody else's dream person, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But I see a lot of, because I live in the suburbs now, so I see a lot of like people that are just happily married. It's just normal. They're amazing relationships.
Right.
Like you walk in a house and it's just calm. They like each other. There's no bickering. There's no nothing. They're just like, they've been college sweethearts. I'm like, holy shit, where am I living? Is this a dream? Because we're just around all this chaos and we're in the clubs and everyone's drunk and they're fighting at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And this guy, you know, it's a dick and, you know, all of this chaos going on.
This guy's getting on the road cheating on his wife. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So much dysfunction.
Dysfunction. So, I don't know. So we'll see. I mean, I'm in no rush if I find somebody. But, you know, look, the most important thing is take care of my son.
Yeah.
You know, that's more important than anything. So if I find someone that's, you know, cool with it. My son keeps telling me, you got to get a girlfriend. I go, look.
That's so cute.
I know. I go, look, if I do, I go, I'm just telling you, we're going to have to share the TV. Because he watches like wrestling. He's a boy. He's wrestling the Three Stooges. He loves, you know. So I go, look, we're probably not going to be able to watch wrestling on Three Stooges if she's over. He's like, why not? I go, because she's going to want to watch something else. So we're going to have to compromise. He's like, why? I go, we just are. He goes, like what? I go, maybe one night we're going to have to watch The Voice or something like that. He's like, I'm not. He's like, why can't she just go in the other room? I go, it's not going to work. We can't send her in the other room.
You're just talking him out of it. Like, well, I hope you know what that means for you.
Yeah.
If I follow this advice, that's so funny.
Yeah, he goes, why can't you just go in the other room and watch it?
You're like, I haven't even met her yet.
And we're already sending her in the guest room to watch The Voice.
Yeah, and I love how it's like The Voice too, which is like a very, you know, like easy for both genders to watch. It's not like you're like, we're going to have to watch like a Sex and the City marathon. He's like, The Voice, fuck this. Get her out of here.
I've never watched The Voice.
No, good.
What?
My parents love The Voice.
It's a great show.
Isn't it just American
great
Idol?
Great show.
With chairs that spin?
It's amazing. It's magical. And I stand by it.
Does your fiance watch it?
Or you have to go
in the other room?
If I like pull up a specific video that I'm like, yo, you need to watch this person, he will. But he just told me that he watched like an America's Got Talent audition on the plane the other day and it made him cry. And he's like, what is happening? He's like, he got so upset.
That doesn't surprise me. Kane is the greatest showman.
I know. Kane is a
sensitive
man. Upset
for watching it?
Like moved. It was like a 5-year-old girl who was a ventriloquist.
Oh, really?
And she got the golden buzzer and like everybody was crying and he just was like, I don't even know these people. When I'm crying.
That's what Cam watches. He watches all those YouTube videos from America's Got Talent, The Voice, everything. My boyfriend's really very much into that too. Where it's
really?
I'm most like, oh, this is cute.
Yeah.
This is cute.
This is cute, but he'll spend hours.
Very moved by it.
So he's, I'm sure we put him in the guest room, maybe.
Well, that's good. Didn't you know? I don't know if I can watch The Voice.
That's okay.
But I have to come. Yeah, no, it's good. You know,
it's fine. Yeah. And I'm sure when you're going through this dating process now, it's not only you're looking for red flags, but it's like, is this somebody that's compatible with my son, too?
Right.
And like, having a family. It's a whole other level now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I always tell my son, I go, Luke, I go, if you don't like the girl I'm dating, she's out. She's gone. Just know that.
Wow.
You know, you let me know. Because I'm not going to date somebody. You know, because I see all these parents, like, the kids hate the person. I'm like, what about your kid?
Yeah.
This person's going to be gone in, like, 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
You know, most likely, or 2 years. They're going to be out of their life, and then there's somebody else is going to be there. Yeah. I go, why isn't it about your kid?
Yeah.
You know, it's always weird. I go, why would I want him to feel uncomfortable over this person?
Yeah.
What if you know, he's family.
If you are seeing somebody, do you wait a certain amount of time to, like, introduce them?
Yeah, I haven't introduced them to anybody. I haven't really dated anybody, but I'll wait a while before I bring them around.
Yeah.
Because I don't want him seeing me parading different women in and out of the house, because then he's going to think that's what he should do when he's older. Oh, just have these different women come. So if I date, I'll go out on the road, or when I don't have him, when his mom has him.
Yeah. Right.
I'll just do it like that, because I don't want him seeing that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because then he's going to, okay, that's what I got to do. I got to just have all these different women and stuff. I always just tell him, I go, look, Luke, just don't cheat. If you're going to, I go, just break up with somebody first. That's all you have to do. Just tell him I don't want to be with any, and then be with that other person.
Right.
Yeah. I go, because someone's going to do it to you, and it's going to crush you. So just know that. I go, it's not, you know.
Someone's going to do it to you, and it's going to crush you.
I know it's going to crush him. Yeah, because he's super sad. I go, it's going to happen. It's happened with everybody.
It's got a lot of life lessons at 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't cheat. Don't be a dick.
I love that. No,
stay in your lane.
That should be hammered into everybody's brain, though. Like,
yeah, just break up with the person.
Don't be a dick and don't cheat. Like,
it's so easy to not cheat.
Right. It was the whole thing with my ex, with my ex-wife. I caught her cheating on me, and my son was one who told me about it, all this stuff.
What?
And so it's out there and stuff.
It's an insane story.
So I had to tell him, basically. That's why I had to talk with him, you know.
Wait. Okay, sorry. You obviously know the story.
Yes.
But wait, Reader's Digest version. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. But I want to know the story. Do you know the story?
No.
I don't know either. Your son?
I don't know if you want to get into it. But
he was 4 at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy crap.
No, well, she just basically said, you know, this guy's hanging around mom.
Oh.
You know, and I'm like, who? He's like, oh, this guy, you know, he's, you know, one of her friends. I'm like, really? And then I asked her, you know, and then whatever. And then it led to.
What was the TMZ thing?
What was on TMZ that I got divorced, but then there was a whole article in the New York Post because I hired private investigators to follow her because she wasn't telling me the truth, and I knew something was going on because my son told me. He goes, no, we met at a mall, we were here, we were there, we, you know, with this guy, you know, when I wasn't around.
Yeah. And even when you confronted her about it, she wouldn't.
Yeah, no, she was like, no, this is not, he's just my friend. What are you talking about? What are you doing on the road? You know, twisted, you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's my fault. You
right.
Know? You're missing for hours. I go, yeah, I'm on stage. I'm doing 3 shows.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with drunks. I'm trying to sell a CD for $10. Sorry. I'm trying to get rid of this shit.
Right. You know?
That's what I'm doing. You've been to my shows. You're like, this is boring. I'm going back to the hotel.
Right.
That's what goes on. Yeah. I got 40-year-old guys wearing Metallica shirts on my shows. There's nothing going on. There's nothing going on.
I'm not getting my dick sucked.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have Chris D'Elia's audience. All right? If I was Chris D'Elia, then you should worry.
Do you feel like she was actually suspicious of you, or was she just trying to
Because that's what she was doing.
Right.
So whenever somebody's cheating, they always think you are.
Right.
When they're sneaking
around.
That's
the tell.
That is such a hard thing to have to explain to a kid, or like talk, sit them down and talk to them about that.
Yeah. So I hired private investigators, and then... to bust, but and then it wound up being a paper because there was a whole thing where he was a cop and there was some stuff said that I had to call his police chief and let him know, hey man, you know, this isn't cool, what's going on? And then it wound up in the New York Post, all the pictures and all the shit of them coming out of a place, like walking out of restaurant, surveillance pictures and all that stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so it was a big thing. Like, I was trying to get this cop fired from his job, but I wasn't. I was basically protecting my family because he was a cop in the town where my family lives.
Yeah.
Like this little town.
Oh, my God.
So I was but somehow it got leaked to the New York Post and it was a big article, you know, about it and there's pictures in it and stuff like that. Like I wasn't trying to get the guy fired. I was just like, hey, man, you know, this is, you know.
You had been, that would have been fine. That guy sounds like he sucks.
That guy, sure get fired. Get that dude out of there.
But whatever, you know, it's all good.
Oh, damn, gosh.
With my son, it's like, let him know this stuff now. Because when I grew up Catholic, and everything was a secret. Don't ask any questions. Right. Whatever went on, you never knew. So I said, I'm just going to be honest with my son right off the bat. Be honest with him. I'm going to let him curse around the house if he wants to. Yeah. I go, look, you can only curse here, you know, because he hears when we're watching sports or my friends are over or whatever. I go, don't curse in front of your friends, and if you curse at school or anywhere else, and I get confronted, I'm going to say, I never heard him curse. I don't know where he got it from. I'm going to throw you under the bus. Just know that. I'm going to take everybody else's side but yours. And he doesn't. Everybody's like, oh, my God, he's amazing, this kid. You know, so he doesn't do it anywhere else. I go, not even in front of your friends, because your friends are going to tell their parents.
Yeah.
So he does. So he knows. He knows.
Wow. Candy drawer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he knows exactly where how he has to act in each scene. I go, look at me. I go, you see me on stage. I'm cursing. I'm telling dirty jokes up there, whatever. I go, when I'm at your school with your teachers or I'm volunteering, am I like that at all?
Yeah.
He goes, no, not at all. So I just know not to do that there, but I'll do it here.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what you got to learn.
That's right. Amazing.
Yeah. I go, I'm not talking about my balls when I'm at when I'm volunteering at your class.
Scooping mac and cheese.
When you guys are doing a relay race. Right. You know. I'm the only dad there. I go there because I'm thinking this: some of these women are going to be single, so I'm looking for the divorce.
Yeah.
But he's in first grade. They're not divorced yet. The shit didn't blow up in the house yet. I heard.
Wait a few years.
Yeah, about fifth or sixth grade is when I go. All right, I got time. I'll wait them out.
In first grade,
they're still together. They're trying to make it work.
Yeah.
But by fourth or fifth grade, there's a bunch of them. So I'm like, all right, I gotta wait a few years.
Just sitting in the
because I'm the only dad there at the school. Like, what do? You some loser? Like, wow, we got a dad here. I'm like, yeah, I just figured I'd come down or whatever. But meanwhile, I'm there. I'm like, ring. Okay, she's got a ring.
But I'm sure some of them are like, ooh, he's so involved.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course.
Dad of the year.
Hands on. Yeah.
No, but it'll be perfect. Like if I could find someone that is divorced and she's got a kid around my son's age we started dating, it would be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the incentives
don't you
too.
Have to, okay, this is what I always ask people because I've met people who have like kids that are the same age. Like, wouldn't you be afraid that like they'd like get together if they were in their
like
house?
Like have sex
kids?
With each other?
Yeah.
That is a weird.
That's I would be afraid of that.
I thought you were gonna say you're afraid that they hate each other and don't get
that
along.
That too. Just that there's any tension, any intense feeling.
You're worried about the step siblings fucking.
Yeah. I would because he's getting boners and he shows me what girl he watched the girl wrestlers.
At seven? That
he got
sucks.
Him at five. At
oh
five.
Oh my god, being a boy sucks.
5-year-old boners.
5-year-old boners.
That's young, isn't it?
It's band, just the blood, right?
This band, Hailstorm, there's a girl lead singer, and we were watching a video. He's like, Dad, look.
What did you do?
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, look at mine.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's nothing.
We need to cut this up into a sizzle and be like, eligible bachelor. Posted all in divorcee groups.
Yeah. Oh, that is so man. Funny.
No, but I heard like him and his friends, they're all seven and they're talking like, yeah, your penis gets really hard. They're like, yeah. He goes, I know sometimes it happens in class and I don't know what to do when it hurts.
Oh.
He goes, and there's that one girl, I know that one, and the wrestler, does your penis get hard with that one girl, Alexa Bliss? And they're like, yeah, I like the other one. And I'm listening and I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Dude, being a boy sounds like just horrible. Oh, I just the boner true. Thing. I always forget about that.
Yeah,
I'm like being a woman, so nimble. We have to put on the right makeup, and then I think about the boner thing. Right. I'm like, oh, it's not worth it. It's
yeah,
really
at least
not.
I don't wake up and be like, oh, there's blood coming out of my dick. You know,
yeah.
we have
I mean,
our own
that sucks. But
shit.
There's no pad for a boner.
That's true.
You just gotta like tuck it in your belt or some shit.
Well, I would worry like if I was dating a girl and she had like a 12 and they're about 10 or 12 or 11, I would worry about that. I'm like. You know, I would tell my son, look, you know, that can't go on. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, don't sneak in a room in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what I would be afraid of.
That's
always,
interesting.
That's always what I ask people that are in that situation. Yeah. It's probably inappropriate.
We'll have to check in back.
At 14 or 15, I'll be like, all right, you know, but 12 is too young.
Yeah.
I think like 15.
Yeah,
there's enough of a... But yeah, or if they were like both 8, like that would...
Yeah, I know.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Do that.
Oh my god, my face hurts from smiling. Well, we should probably wrap it up. But
thank you so much for doing this.
It's a lot of good stuff.
So Jim. Do you want to? So this is coming out in a week. Do you want to plug like your social media, any road dates, anything like that?
JimFlorentine.com, and I got a podcast called Comedy Metal Midgets I do every week, and all my tour dates are up there. I'll be in Albany and Vegas, Atlantic City, or whatever. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, check out the podcast. I just rant about different shit each week.
When are you in Vegas? Perfect. What are you doing in Vegas?
What am I doing? Laugh Factory.
Oh, Laugh Factory?
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. I will be headlining the American Comedy Company Club down in San Diego August 30th through September 1st. This is where, if any of you saw on social media, the homeless guy humping my poster for four hours.
Oh, my that is God. So funny.
I felt a lot of emotions. I don't know if you saw that video. I'll have to show you this video afterward. Anyway, there was people. I had like two different people send me videos of this guy. There's a homeless guy who apparently for like 4 hours was outside of the comedy club, and there's a poster of me that's like his height, and he was just humping the poster outside for like 4 hours.
Good Lord.
Making a lot of emotions.
Making waves,
yeah,
Kels.
It's a lot of stamina. I mean, I was a little impressed, but...
Did you put him on the guest list?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, shit, this guy might be there. So, yeah, come to that, and Kelsey Cook on Twitter, Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram.
Cool. And ttomcomedy.com, I'll make it easy for you. August 30th through September 2nd, I am headlining the Funny Bone in Syracuse. September 13th through the 15th, I'm headlining the San Jose Improv. I'm at the Comedy Cellar in Vegas the 26th through the 30th of September. Boom.
At Delaney Fisher on all the social medias, and Dicks by Delaney is coming very soon.
Yay. Yeah. Literally.
Almost there. I'll
be and over. Join the Patreon for bonus episodes and treats. We have the new shirts we're sending out. So very exciting. So
Yay.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Why won't